virtual ceramics and sculpture classes, virtual dance, yoga, and meditation classes, and we're building out our summer schedule.
Press the wrong button and you are wondering where you are. You have landed in the wonderful land of WGXC. Whoa, I'm turning upside down. Wait, I'm not anymore.
This is Mitch Easter of Let's Active, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Devon of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Tune in every morning at 5 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m. for all the local news from the WGXC newsroom, from the Public News Service, from the River Newsroom's coronavirus report, to interviews from our partner station WOOC in Troy. You'll also hear the Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate every morning on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, your place on the dial for local news.
Why is my
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio Program, broadcasting from the subterranean secret archives of the Catskill Maker Syndicate, located at 65 West Bridge Street in the heart of Catskill, also known as that weird place right next to the Juice Branch. We're here to answer any science or technology questions you may have if you happen to chime in. Otherwise, we're going to sit back and basically just complain about the news. Roll call, how is everybody doing tonight? Let's start with Ben. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well tonight.
All right. Brian, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm a little drunk.
Excellent. Prime for the show. Tom, you there, my friend? How you doing?
I don't know how, but I keep doing it.
That's how we all feel. Cody, how you doing?
Pretty good. Been catching up on much lost sleep over the many years of not sleeping.
It was quarantine season. Didn't you catch up?
I spent a lot of time not sleeping.
Well, you're being productive, so shame on you. Jill, how are you doing? Jill and Corey over there.
Doing all right.
Quite all right.
Cool, and those two are ready with our news and our history, looking forward and looking backward. Anybody have anything that they would like to bring up now or talk about, personal project?
I got mumble to work. I'm not proud of myself.
Gold star, Tom.
That's an accomplishment. And for the listeners out there, Mumble is the program that we're all using currently right now to communicate. We don't use Zoom.
You can't go away from me.
No, because it tends to spy on you.
They've made
or otherwise
YouTube.
Be vulnerable.
Whole YouTube channels about it.
Well,
bombing people's Zoom. You know, you could just get the passkey online and bin.
Haven't people been spamming with different types of, say, pornography in official channels?
All kinds of stuff.
Well, we're on the radio, so the camera feature of Zoom wouldn't really apply, and its audio is nowhere near as good as this.
Well, that's one of the reasons we use it, and one of the reasons we go through the utter mind-boggling hassle of setting it up.
It doesn't always have to be a hassle.
Is it for all platforms, Joe? Is it, or just Linux?
Oh no, Mumble works on everything. You can even get it for Android.
But I mean, for when you're setting up that central server link or whatever.
Oh.
The free version is called Murmur. So when you set up what's called the Mumble server on a Linux machine, you get Murmur. I'm pretty sure Mumble server is available for Windows machines as well.
Okay, cool.
It's like Ventrilo. People sometimes rent out servers so that you don't even need to have your own. You could just use somebody else's. And honestly, there are tons of free rooms available for Mumble. So you don't really need to set up your own server. We just set up ours because we like to have control of the situation. And I'd like to tweak the quality settings.
I got a project.
What's that, Cody?
Starting to get this miniature computer-controlled milling machine in a clean and working order, which they're trying to ban now. Did you hear about that?
Wait. Which machine? The little one or the less little one?
The 300-pound one.
Oh, you have... Wait, what kind is that?
It's the same kind they have at Tech Valley Center of Gravity. It's the... You remember when we went there? It's the yellow one.
Who makes that?
Nowadays? Nobody. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, a company out of California was called Dynamechatronics was selling these things. As like a educational tool.
Dynamechatronics. Sorry.
Okay. What's the size of that thing?
In terms of what?
The work area.
Work area? I think it's like 4x6x5.
Inches?
Feet? Inches.
Oh my god, that's tiny. Wow, that's cool.
But it's rigid. It doesn't flex when it bites into steel or aluminum.
And that's a good thing?
Well, I mean, if you want sub-thousandth of an inch precision, yes.
How powerful is the milling motor on that?
I think it's half horsepower. Goes up to 10,000 RPM.
That's pretty hefty for 4, but yeah. How big? It's 300 pounds, like a big table, a steel table or something?
It's all cast iron.
Oh, my God.
And bent sheet metal for certain parts, but... The non-important parts are sheet metal. Everything else is cast iron.
I'm guessing this was a Facebook or a Craigslist find.
You betcha.
That's awesome. I want to see this thing.
I mean, I went out and got an engine lift to pick the thing up.
Oh, wow. You were talking about something being banned?
Oh, yeah. I believe a piece of legislation was introduced... recently. Can't remember exactly from where or in which level of government, either federal or state, this state.
It appears to be the Giffords organization.
Yeah. Maybe.
Federal.
But they want to ban machines that are capable of making weaponry. Firearms.
But isn't that a good thing?
Oh, my lord. Not if you want everything else to be made, because everything else that's important gets made on the same exact machine.
But but we could just rely on major corporations that have government approval.
So, rent-seeking and welfare for big corporations?
More of that, please. But so the ridiculousness of that is there's a dude in England who for decades was making plans on, like, basically submachine guns with plumbing pipes. Are you going to make plumbing pipes illegal? They harassed him forever until he gave up. I think they finally put him in prison. But yeah, it's what?
Oh yeah, it's clearly a slippery slope. First of all, if the end product itself is perfectly legal and you are constitutionally guaranteed that it is, then I have absolutely no idea why the manufacturing devices for it should be made as illegal as well. They obviously make many other things out of, you know, tubular steel. Like, I don't know, shopping carts? Buildings? What?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of fear out there and more control, more fear. Maybe they think it's going to, people think it's going to make things normal, but, you know, we're just
it absolutely won't, because the cat's out of the bag. I mean, yet only in England can you put a guy in jail for making plans of,
exactly.
Like blueprints of how to make something.
That's right. And they can take away your printing press because, you might print something on it that is not to be seen.
Aren't yes, of course.
And you can take my laser printer out of my cold dead hands!
A related and equally problematic story relates to my father, who figured out that you could make alcohol out of grass, and since we're a lawn in order society, there are a lot of grass clippings from all those people that are keeping their lawns in order. So I designed a solar still.
Really? Isn't cellulose like notoriously difficult to break down for that process?
I designed a solar still and we let it rot and we got alcohol out of it. And he wanted to use it as a fuel. So he, being a very straight guy, I mean, this guy was a professional engineer, worked for IBM, he always, you know, towed the line, or hoed the row, or whatever it is that they do down there. So he applied to get a waiver on an alcohol license, because it was imbibable type, and they beat him away with a stick. They said, well, sure, you can have your fuel, just as long as you pay for it by the percentage of alcohol, and if you're up to 200 proof, I mean, it's going to be pretty expensive to put it in your car or your furnace. And this was late in his life. He had been asked to design solar cells by the Carter administration because he had a knack for that sort of stuff with silicon. And he reported back that the doping that they used, and I'm not talking about that kind of dope, but the exotic materials used to make
germanium, arsenic, things like that.
Things like that. Well, the rare earths.
Good old silicone.
Those things were required. There's plenty of sand, of course, but in order to make an efficient silicon solar cell, you had to use some exotic materials. And he did a calculation that there wasn't a sufficient amount of those doping compounds to really supply enough electricity to switch over, but he did think there were enough lawns being mowed to at least augment what was going on.
Ironically, that's what they do now. They out in the Midwest, they have vehicles that are almost completely run on ethanol from corn production.
Venezuela is like that too. Their entire economy is like that.
No, you're thinking of Brazil.
Am I?
Yes.
Yeah, Brazil, sugarcane into fuel.
They have the leftover materials from refining sugar, and they can be converted into alcohol. And it ferments. It doesn't take any energy particularly because it's hot. And our version, my solar still, is what got me involved. It brought in that free energy source to evaporate the slurry.
Tom, you use like mirrors or something? You had to be concentrated to get above, what, 190 degrees or so that you needed?
Yeah, I used a solar collector that was curved, so it focused the sun.
Ah, parabolic.
Well, it was sort of like a half pipe, you know, a long tube cut in half.
Okay, yeah, easier to make, just long.
Linear. You got to be careful with those. You need to boil off the methanol first if you're thinking about using it internally.
Well, no, in fact, the problem was that it was ethanol, and that was what was wrong with it. If it was methanol,
that's what led to the mass attacks.
Wrong.
Anyway, he got discouraged. It was near the end of his life, and it was like a side thing for him. But living here, where there is corn and other sources that could be used for alcohol production, I was interested in the notion that it would be used for heating. That see, part of the problem with heating fuels is that the tanks, the underground tanks, rot out. And you don't want a petroleum-filled underground tank to rot out because that will seep into the water supply. But if you have a very large underground tank, 1,000 gallons, 2,000 gallons, it would last you one fill up for all winter. And it did fill. The alcohol dissolves in water and dissipates. It doesn't become a pollutant in any serious sense, like petroleum distillates do. So it seems like a natural switchover. And to convert a furnace is just a very simple switchover. You don't use any rubber. Well, you don't use rubber on furnaces anyway. And you change the nozzle. And you do get about half the heat out of it, but so what?
These are some legitimate permaculture ideas here, people. Pay attention. Oil ain't going to last forever.
But ethanol could be made out of algae.
Grass clippings, too, as we've learned.
On that,
which is amazing.
Well, I referred you guys to that article earlier about the Argonne National Laboratory trying to turn, what was it, carbon dioxide and water into ethanol using some kind of low-current catalytic method, some efficient way to do it.
Lasers.
Something not lasers.
No. Some kind of copper-like thing in current. But, you know, I guess to take carbon dioxide out of, I guess you could use it in some way to put carbon back in the system instead of floating around, but
you can get carbon dioxide out of the air if you use a caustic like lye. So a friend of mine in England did experiments in his garage, and he was able to make a liquid from this collected carbon dioxide that was a hydrocarbon, and it was a distillate that was a fuel like aircraft fuel. His idea was that hydrocarbons are perfectly good if you remove as much carbon dioxide or much carbon as you put back in, and making it a zero sum. And the concentration of energy in hydrocarbons is twice as good as that alcohol I was talking about before. So there are reasons why hydrocarbons are popular.
They're cheap.
Well,
we're lazy.
Yeah, that was a problem. And his method, the barrel of his fuel was a couple hundred dollars, and so
that's not that great, especially considering the ethanol has 80% the same amount of power as, say, gasoline. Not even that much, right?
No, it's more like 50, I think. I may be wrong about that, but I think
that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's not the same,
right? Well,
you can tell when you put the different gas in your car.
When you're up in an airplane, you don't want to carry any extra fuel, so hydrocarbons are a good solution. Hydrogen itself is a good solution, and that's probably what would be the best way to approach the problem, because the systems in the air can't be, you can't plug them in. Run low on charge, are we? And you got to carry that amount of fuel with you that'll get you from point A to point B.
And plus the fuel to carry the fuel.
Well, that's the nature of the beast. You gotta carry the fuel somehow.
Sorry, I've been playing lots of Kerbal, so figuring out rocket trajectories, you gotta add fuel to fuel.
Yeah, that's right. Rockets are designed to break up into stages, but you can't do that with the airplane. We're leaving the lab. We're leaving the back of the cabin.
Unless it's a JATO plane with a jet-assisted takeoff, will drop their bottles. That's one stage.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
But I'm also splitting hairs.
Well, it has been done for a short takeoff in particular. Which leads, I guess, wasn't it supposed to go somewhere to Elon Musk at some time? It was supposed to be.
Yeah, at some point.
We got plenty of time to complain about him. We're probably going to be doing an extended show next month anyway, so if we don't get to it this time, we'll just while it out next time.
I don't think Elon Musk is all bad. I think there's some memorable stuff like he...
No, good. There's
space.
No, his rockets went off without a hitch.
He learned to recycle.
Yeah, I think that's really what's really cool is those the platforms they've created to be able to catch everything, catch them in nets or land them on their tail. They have that's some really cool stuff. I remember back in they had that Delta rocket 20 or something years ago that would land on its tail, but it never got beyond a test phase. SpaceX has gone way beyond that. They just recycled.
Yeah,
that's
because
NASA gave them a lot of money to throw away rockets. So
yeah, but pennies
a lot of what they did is also NASA's accomplishment. I'd like to point that out.
The whole team. It's not just him.
And also NASA getting out of its own way with it with way too many layers of
bureaucracy.
Oh yeah, and then we add on more with the Space Launch System, also known as the Senate Launch System. Sorry to ruin the mood.
Hey, we got guys in space that came off of America Land with some private sector help and never took.
Congratulations.
Pretty impressive.
We have guys in space.
Space.
Yes.
But it took so long. I remember being frustrated for decades. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen when that space shuttle gets taken down? They extended its lifespan and... What is it? How many? Well, it was over a decade before we were able to launch somebody back up again with the new rockets. But, damn.
Well, yeah,
pretty exciting.
There's nothing wrong with the shuttle, it's just got different uses. Capsules are just more efficient.
Yeah. Well, I see more of the new Starship, though. They did that Starship test a couple days ago where it did the hop and sideways thing. But
that was the Mars ship.
Yeah, that's the Mars ship. Or a small version of it, or a shorter version. They're testing the platform.
No, I think that was an actual scale version. And the hop that you saw is Earth gravity hop. The exact same vessel on Mars would be able to leap up into orbit using that power.
Oh, so that's going to be the top section that gets sent there.
That's exactly. It's going to be the final stage that lands on the planet.
Okay.
And if you can make it, 500 feet into the air on Earth, you can make it pretty damn far on Mars, which is like 1/6 our gravity, I want to say.
Well, the United Arab Emirates, launched their probe off of a Japanese rocket. Mars probe.
So you say, I think Mars is a third of Earth's gravity.
According to Wikipedia, Mars is 0.38 Gs. So 1/3.
That's almost 2/5.
That means I could eat 3 times more fried chicken and not feel the effect.
Yeah, and your heart's going to have an easier time pumping all that blood through the, built-up coagulates in your arteries just because there's a lot less gravity. And then when you go home to Earth, instant heart attack. Ooh, that's the sort of thing that's
going
to happen.
You said about going home.
Yeah.
Elon Musk don't want to go home.
You ain't coming home. Your body won't take it.
You're going to become Belta Loda. Okay, nobody gets that reference. Go watch The Expanse, people. Great show.
I was going to let you plug it.
What is it on now? It's either on Amazon or Hulu. I can't even remember.
I think it's Amazon, but...
Resurrected by Amazon.
Bezos is a fan, yeah.
Go check out The Expanse. The science in this show is pretty darn good, and it's been sort of filling the Star Trek gap that wasn't filled by other things, but that's an entirely different topic that we're not going to start now.
Wait, yeah, don't Star come Trek over has to a bunch of shows. What are you talking about?
That's for a different show.
Forgotten Geek, every other Tuesday.
Okay, we're going to
get a plug.
We're going to have to guest star or something. Or pre-record a complaint
debate.
Segment. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. We'll call it a debate.
Well, even though the trip to Mars or the reusable rockets are quite commendable, I thought that the water-based return that we saw last week, the capsule came down,
yeah.
And you know, it was so retro. I mean, it was a little exciting with the tropical storm on the other side of the peninsula. You know,
it was a beautiful setup.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they were taking a bit of a gamble, you know, with the weather, the land and water. And it was quite a contrast, I felt, with the reusable rocket, which is very interesting. Hadn't been done. This had been done. Landing in the water goes back quite a long way.
It's a good, tried and true method. It works. It's efficient. We let nature do most of the work. You let the air break the vessel on down to landing speed, deploy some parachutes, and let the water do the rest for capture. You don't have to have landing gear, you don't have to have a runway, you don't have to have you do have to have a reclaim crew ready to go. There was one capsule that almost went down, wasn't there?
No, one did go down. Gus Grissom, Mercury capsule, went under.
That's right. They got him out, but the capsule went down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Some backup balloons and you're good.
The capsule was recovered within the last decade or so. They finally found it. And I think they confirmed that the explosive bolts did go off.
So it wasn't his fault. It was just a...
Exactly!
It was just a failure of design. And people have busted his bones over that.
It was those German designers.
Not sure I want them to try to. I'm not sure I would want them to try to catch, catch a capsule in midair with one of their reusable rockets. Anyways, not with men in it. Anyways, you know. How else are they gonna come down from the sky?
No, the water's a nice big blanket, covers like 3/4 of our planet. Just let them plop, go get them. As long as they don't sink, we're fine. Which, you know. You could compare the chances of them sinking to the chances of them going splat on the ground if they're trying to land there.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's how the Russians did it, right? Russians always landed their capsules on the ground.
Yes.
They do that.
What?
But when you land in water, there is more of a hazard, and I think that was illustrated by the nearby tropical storm.
Right.
They nailed it, but, you know, as it came down, people were concerned that any number of things could go wrong. The parachutes, and there are four or five, how many, six parachutes involved? You know, one of those could fail, which, you know, increases the probability of failure. And then once you're in the water, you got a bobbing, difficult thing to handle. One of the experts was seen jumping into the water after he hooked up, I don't know, a buoy or something on top of it. And the voiceover said, no, that was deliberate. No, he jumped about, I would say, 15 feet from the top into the water.
Oh, that's nothing. I do that in the creek. And apparently, looking at the Soyuz landing capsule, they're basically able to land doing all the other things that the other landers do, plus they add some retro rockets to just cushion the landing at the last second. And that makes it kind of like the sky crane that dropped off the Curiosity rover. And since I'm talking at the moment and I got everybody's attention, I'm just going to say that you are listening to WGXC, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, and all points in between and around on radio frequency 90.7 FM.
That was right on the money, FCC compliant. Fabulous. Gold stars.
Thank you. Thank you, FCC. Give us some gold stars. I like it.
No four-letter words.
We keep saying that to ourselves, and we just say them in our heads, because we're all techs, and we all have a very vivid vocabulary. Cody, do you happen to have a bio break this week?
Month? I do not. Whatever? I'm sorry. We'll just keep on going. I mean, there's this topical article that I have up here.
Lay it on me, brother!
So I was just talking about how, oil's not going to last forever. Rich Benoit, the guy who runs the YouTube channel Rich Rebuilds, where he tinkers and rebuilds and salvages broken down Teslas, just published a video where he said he's selling his Tesla and he's going back to gas.
That got censored for a while, didn't it?
Yeah, it was taken down several times.
Yeah, and people they were basically angry at him for saying that in the first place.
Yeah,
so they
Tesla
kept hitting it with takedown notices. Thanks, copyright law, for helping them out there. But it's like, have you guys seen the pictures of the people with electric cars towing a trailer with a gas generator on it just to make sure they can get certain distances?
I've seen that in a popular mechanics magazine from the early 70s, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's nothing new. But I am talking about Teslas.
Oh, because they're going highways that don't have superchargers. They're in the middle of flyover country, I'm guessing, right?
Bat country.
Flyover country, I love it.
So, the video is... It was taken down... a second time. And he said he's not going to try again. He's given up on keeping the video up. Hopefully he uploads it to a place like BitChute or...
Or what's one?
Vimeo?
Z? Vimeo. Yeah, Vimeo doesn't censor.
I don't know about that, but hopefully he uploads it so we can all find out this
It's not a matter of
reasons.
Censorship. It's a matter of people abusing the DMCA takedown capability of...
They're not even using DMCA. They're saying...
Just complaints.
They're saying that it's being taken down for violating YouTube's community guidelines.
But yeah, YouTube doesn't have any nuance to those standards. I mean, their whole thing is just ridiculous, you know. That could be easily abused.
Yeah, the bots will take it down first, and then you got to go back, and somebody's got to check. And I don't know. I would think that a coder could put a super thumbs up on it, turn that 0 to a 1, and stop that abuse.
Not when it's designed to be a popularity contest.
Yeah.
They have to. It's like therapy, Brian. They have to choose to do so.
So that's the same kind of thing was happening with the bots on one of the channels I was watching with MedCram, these guys out of Southern California.
Yeah.
So they had about 3 or 4 videos that were taken down a month or two into COVID because they were talking about trigger words like hydroxychloroquine and all that other things. But just those words appearing in it got them taken down. And they were pushing back against that because they had 60 and now 100 videos on this, and they follow actual science because they're actual doctors. But even these guys got taken down because bots saw words and didn't like words and went, ooh, words evil. Garbage.
Yeah, that happened to some, you know, non, I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, wrestling videos that would just mention, you know, the COVID pandemic, and it would, you know, the boss would flag it, you know.
Wrestling videos?
Well, you know, because that, you know, they were hit too, you know, not able to perform in front of audiences and stuff, so.
Right, right.
I mean, wrestling news videos. I mean, plenty of other non-medical, definitely no conspiracy theory stuff. Just people just mention, like, oh yeah, the current pandemic, you know.
What's wrong with that kind of information? I injected myself with hydroxychloroquine and I'm fine.
Your legs are supposed to turn purple, right? I'm sitting right here drinking Lysol. I think I'm doing okay.
Everything's all sparkly.
That was a lie. I'm not. It's actually whiskey.
Another solvent. One that doesn't quite kill you as fast.
Or as my friend Clark would say, alcohol. The legal drug. Now we got two legal drugs, apparently, in this country.
Two of
them?
Are you
kidding me? There is a ton of legal drugs. Have you heard of Big Pharma?
No, I'm talking recreational things that eventually get turned and become tax makers, tax revenue sources. So that's what happens. This goes back to what Tom was talking about, how his dad couldn't make fuel out of grass because... Treasury Department garbage.
Taxes.
So, should we continue on the musk route? Or
Yes.
Some musk. All right,
Somebody bring up something else musky.
Well, no, I think the electric vehicle, the way he designed it, is comprehension about carrying your fuel around. You know, it makes much more sense for the vehicle to become lighter as it consumes its fuel, whereas a battery doesn't change its weight. I mean, you're using some electrons, but they're not very heavy, and the storage for the electrons is invariant in any meaningful way, whether it's charged or discharged. So when they boast about miles that they get out of miles per gallon equivalency, that's a misrepresentation that needs to be cleared up. The bigger the battery, the more dead weight as you pass a certain threshold in distance traveling.
Yeah, so, we're moving the damage from oil fields to mining operations for various elements that are needed for it, right?
No, that isn't what I was saying, although, yes.
That's another thing, too.
Well, the metals are a problem in their own right, but I'm just talking about efficiency. And the efficiency is misrepresented in part because you have to generate the electricity. And at this point, they're generating electricity with, by and large, with polluting methods. But the fundamental error in the design of a Tesla is that it's carrying this dead weight with it everywhere it goes, and ultimately that weight can't be moved because the battery is discharged. And this happens to people who are using the heater on the Tesla, for example, in the winter. They have to use the battery to light up a filament that's then...
Yeah, because most regular cars that are operating on gas or even ethanol, the heat that's used to that heats the cabin, it comes as waste heat from the engine. It's just heat that's there waiting to be, like, dispersed into the environment anyway. They just channel that through the human compartment first. Electric vehicles, to heat you in the first place, yeah, you got to pull power out of the battery. A lot of people that were retrofitting standard cars to try to make them electric were leaving that part out, and they were freezing their tuckuses off in the wintertime.
Yeah, it's an ill-suited car for a cold climate.
Tom, you've seen the Toyota design from like 10, 15 years ago, right? The Mirai, the hydrogen car they tested out in L.A. and other places, which uses hydrogen fuel that turns directly into electricity and spits water out of its tailpipe.
Yes, that conforms to the notion that the fuel is portable.
Works really well, but we don't have a hydrogen infrastructure because the trillion it would have costed, we've given about eight times over to Wall Street, I think.
Well, that and the comparison with electric vehicles is we didn't have a recharging infrastructure for electrical vehicles. They have to put these chargers out in roadsides, and they don't really cover very much of the area that needs to be covered for the freedom of navigation that you get out of an electric car. But nonetheless, the predisposition to use Teslas has resulted in a modest amount of charging stations to be made available. Hydrogen approach has been suppressed to some extent, I think, and it does offer an alternative which is being realized in another country, in Japan, where about 20% of the vehicles are now hydrogen-based. And they have that. They can go for much longer spans on an equivalent amount of fuel, for one thing. We talked about...
Don't they do, like, fuel cells like that in Norway? They have hydrogen fuel cells, but they're only able to get away with it because they have tons of geothermal energy available to just charge them with?
And one of the things about the hydrogen that's being offered is that it is a byproduct of the distillation of petroleum. So...
Okay, so still free energy.
They're getting it
left
from
over.
from a polluting source, but hydrogen.
Yeah, so actually, you could get it from water by cracking it, but I think
clean way to crack water either.
Yeah, use electricity,
oh, sure,
and it's
is.
Inefficient.
Use a solar panel.
Exactly, a solar panel. You'll have oxygen goes to one side and hydrogen goes to the other side, but the idea for rolling out a hydrogen
economy... It's called electrolysis.
Would be, yeah, exactly. Is you could... It would be a good in-between because you could interest the existing oil cabal. You can get their hydrocarbons can be turned into hydrogen more easily, but that was never investigated or pushed for some reason in the last decade and a half as an interim way to do it.
Right. They scare you away with pictures of the Hindenburg blowing up.
I'm sorry, but that looks like a good release of energy right there. You're just going to capture
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That should get you going.
It's not dangerous. The Hindenburg was like covered in tar and lighter fluid.
The humanity.
Well, the Hindenburg was very low pressure hydrogen, and that was the idea, was to to make the thing as light as possible. So they had to fill these balloons with the least amount of hydrogen to fill them up. And once and these were balloons, really, with a rigid external structure, but inside was the balloon, which was a bag. And the minimum amount of hydrogen to fill the bag was how it got its lighter-than-air behavior. Well, the hydrogen in these Japanese cars is the most compressed that they can get, and it doesn't have the hazard of mixing readily with the atmosphere any more than gasoline does, really, in a way. It's under pressure, so I guess it's a little more complicated. But
oh, they run cars on compressed propane and stuff like that, too, so and natural gas. So those infrastructures and basic components in vehicles are already there.
Honestly, I'm more afraid of a giant lithium battery shorting out than of any kind of gas.
Yes!
That's some bad
super
news.
Giant laptop fire rolling down the road.
Can I walk this back to the lithium thing? And walk it back to Elon Musk?
Why are we going to do some?
Do it! Do it!
Alright. So, not even paying attention to the idea that extracting these heavy metals or rare earth metals from the ground... is extremely energy intense and requires equipment that takes a lot of and it requires a lot of equipment that takes, you know, dirty energy input, not clean,
and dirty output.
Exactly. Now Elon got himself into some trouble. He tweeted About, I know, right? He tweeted about government stimulus packages.
Twitter getting
and
everyone
how,
in trouble.
And how it wasn't what the United States needed. And then somebody replied to him, oh, well, Bolivia also didn't need a coup. And Elon replied, we will coup whoever we want.
You know why he tweeted that, right? Because billionaires get the best weed. That's why he tweeted.
Because foodie gaffiti. That's why.
On that note, I think I finally put my finger on why Elon Musk has been bugging the living crap out of me. He's going to be the next Steve Jobs. He's going to make universally required technology, and then he's going to gain Nazi-like control of it and thereby its users.
Be the next Bezos.
He's Steve Jobs.
Bezos is a
John
is a
Rockefeller,
and
he's like Rockefeller, Henry Ford, and Jobs combined.
That's the most messed up thing to say, though. Especially when he's getting his lithium
from his doctor,
ostensibly from. Yeah, well, maybe he wouldn't be saying so much crazy stuff if he was.
I mean, I was
ostensibly
gonna bring up
from Bolivia.
I was gonna bring up like the Twitter thing because he said things like, "I think the stock prices for Tesla are too high," and then that just like made everyone crazy.
Well, at least he's honest.
Somewhat.
If he's gonna coup you, if he's gonna coup your country, he'll tell you so.
Oh my God, Grimes! If somehow you're listening, when he's getting high, just hide his phone. All right.
Hide his phone. Hide his phone. That should be like the new theme for people who are at risk.
You can't even keep control of a guy who goes on Joe Rogan's podcast and goes, "Hmm, what will happen to the stock if I smoke this weed?"
Isn't it fun to be rich enough to make this all into a game?
I think we should all gamify life like Musk does in our own way.
Maybe then we'll have hundreds or thousands of Musks.
Musking it.
Y'all are depressing me. Move on.
Yeah, he wants to have like a mega rave cave on top of on top of one of the factories.
Okay,
that's good.
This episode Musk made it. We're going to conclude it right.
Wait
then.
A minute.
No.
That's a good rave cave. I want a rave cave on Mars. That's where I want one.
Okay, have Elon build you one there. Corey, do you have history for this month? I want to make sure they get squeezed in.
Oh, yes. We'll squeeze it in right now.
We'll go right back to Muskie as soon as you're done, if we got time.
Okay. August 1st, 1774, minister/chemist Joseph Priestley. Oh, one moment. Okay. Minister/chemist Joseph Priestley found the air, dubbed the air we breathe as a gas he called the phlogisticated air, later dubbed down to oxygen. 1893, Henry D. Perkey and William Ford patented pillow-shaped shredded wheat.
Yummy.
Was it made into a pillow with dephlogisticated air?
Why?
Deflatulated what?
1941, the Willys Truck Company introduced the Jeep to the world.
Yeah.
1946.
And everyone else built it.
1946, President Harry Truman signed the Atomic Energy Act to create the Atomic Energy Commission, transfer control of energy from military to civilian hands. August 3rd, 1921, Lieutenant John A. McCready demonstrated the first aerial crop dusting, spraying lead arsenic insecticide dust to eliminate an infestation of sphinx moth caterpillars on a farm in Ohio. August 4th, 1922, every telephone in North America went silent for 1 minute at sunset to mark the funeral service for Alexander Graham Bell. August 6, 1945, little boy, the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan. 3 days later, fat man was dropped on Nagasaki. History ain't always so, you know, pleasant. 1930.
Tell that to the people that survived both blasts, because they exist.
Yeah. 1930, on White Island, Norwegian explorers discovered the debris of the earliest balloon expedition to the North Pole, a party led by Dr. Solomon August André of Sweden and two companions 33 years prior. 1181, ancient records of Chinese court astronomers observed a guest star appearing in the skies for over 6 months. F. Richard Stevenson proposed in 2006 that supernova remnants 3C58, discovered in the 1960s, was a star that had also been observed in Japan at that time. August 9, 1956, the first state-supported educational television network in the U.S. began broadcasting in Alabama, of all places. August 10th...
Socialism?
This will lead to stuff like Sesame Street. August 10th, 1897, Dr. Felix Hoffman created a pure, stable form of acetylsalicylic acid, later trademarked as aspirin.
From the bark of a willow tree.
Mm-hmm. Also found in strawberries, too, I think.
I know it's in some fruit. August 11th, over a year after ratification as the international standard for distress calls, the SS Arapaho became the first ship to use SOS to seek help after a propeller snapped while off the coast of North Carolina. August 12, 1981, IBM introduced a personal computer. It had an Intel 8080 processor with a speed of 7.77 megahertz, memory ranging from 16K to upgradable to 640K, with data storage options.
Ooh, baby!
Data storage options included 5.25 floppy drives and cassette tape.
Cassette tapes! Awesome! I remember having to load a video game by watching a cassette play on a player, and then wait for it to finish and go, game loaded!
Yeah, we had one for the Commodore that, you know, we had, you know, as a kid, but never had any actual games for it.
You kids nowadays with your solid-state drives!
It retailed for a base price of $1,600, which adjusted for inflation to this year would be $4,537.
Oh, wow.
From now on, I've decided to stop factoring in optical drives in people who I part out new computer builds for. They just don't need them anymore.
No one uses them. Everybody's installed off of a thumb drive. Yeah.
Or just downloaded off the internet. Oh, okay.
August 13th, 1889, William Gray was granted a U.S. patent for coin-controlled apparatus for telephones, the first payphone, which had been developed by George A. Long and installed in Hartford, Connecticut.
What's a payphone?
What is this strange device from the old times?
Funnily enough, a lot can still be seen Billy in Columbia County.
Billy Ted used that.
Yeah, isn't that a time machine or something?
It's a time machine, totally.
August 15th, 1911, Procter & Gamble introduced Crisco, a hydrogenated shortening created as an economical alternative to animal fats and butter.
And great on a biscuit.
August 16th, 1829, the original Siamese twins Chang and Ing Bunker, joined at the waist by a band of cartilage, arrived in Boston to be exhibited to the Western world. They later went into business for themselves and settled in North Carolina to marry two sisters and raise 10 children. After their death, it was found they could have easily been separated.
10 children?
Yep.
Okay, it looks like everything was working on those gentlemen.
August 18th, 1960, the Surly Drug Company marketed the first oral contraceptive. August 19th, 1856, Gail Borden was issued a patent for his process for condensed milk. August 20th, physician Sir Ronald Ross in 1897 discovered a malaria parasite while dissecting a mosquito. 1930, in New York City, the Hearst Building, the Hotel Ansonia, and a house on Riverside Drive received the first home television telecast. August 22nd, Okay, August 22nd, William Shepard in 1865 was granted the first patent for liquid soap, which has become more important nowadays. August 23rd.
That is the number...
Go on.
That is the number one thing to help keep you clean. Soap. I mean, people use hand sanitizer, but hand sanitizer is kind of a joke if your hands are dirty. It doesn't do anything. So, soap it on up, clean those hands, scrub them up, scrub under those fingernails, and keep them clean, people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been seeing the shelves fill back up with at least that. You know, still have, you know, in fact, more than, get that more often than sanitary wipes. Okay. August 23rd, 1966, Lunar Orbiter 1 took the first grainy black and white photograph of the Earth from the moon, made using computer imaging. August 24th, 1853, it's claimed the first potato chips were prepared by American Indian chef George Crumb at Moon's Lake House in Saratoga Springs, New York. August 26th, 1346, Edward III of England reportedly made first use of the cannon in battle to defeat Philip VI of France. 1909, Swiss paleontologist Otto Hauser discovered a 34,000-year-old, almost perfectly preserved Cro-Magnon skeleton of a man, selling it a year later to the Berlin Volkerrund Museum due to massive debt. 1930, Philo Farnsworth patented the television.
Woohoo! TV! Moment of silence. Okay, thank you.
August 28th, Rufus Porter published the first issue of the Scientific American. And August 30th, 1983, Jan S. Bluford Jr. became the first black American astronaut in space aboard the third flight of the shuttle Challenger. And that's it for history.
Yeah.
Great.
All she wrote.
That's all. Corey wrote.
Okay, does anybody have any parting messages for our listeners?
Don't get sick.
Google's evil. Apple's evil. There you go.
Yeah. Apple? Curse Apple for stealing Dark Sky from the rest of us!
Specifically from the guy who makes the better weather.
Yes, I'm willing to admit that Dark Sky is one of my resources. And they do a good radar readout, among other things. There are other things like the National Weather Service... and AccuWeather, and you can't say Weather Underground anymore because they're owned by Weather Channel, and Weather Channel, in my personal opinion, sucks. I'd rather watch Weather Nation. Weather Nation, awesome. Look them up if you want weather.
Is that why Jeff Masters left that thing? They just got absorbed. Everyone's getting absorbed right now. Gah.
That happened a while ago. Weather Underground originally started out independently, and they were great, and they had their own independent monitoring network, and that worked well. And then they started changing their own algorithms around, and then they were purchased by the Weather Channel, so they kind of suck, but they do have some good resources. Everything's a resource. You just got to compare all the data. Okay, since I think we're done, everybody good?
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Okay, you've been listening to the Catskill Makers. We have in the biology department, Cody. We have our special guest tonight, Tom Ditto. We have Jill Sutton with us. We have Ben Matthews, who didn't speak out too much, but he's hanging around in the background. We have
Corey.
Corey. Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Corey, what?
I've heard that before.
Oh, man, you know it's not true. No. And we got Brian, who is supposed to be our sound tech. He's going to be whipping us up some sort of actual in-person recording next
You're
time.
The sound tech for the COVID now. Days, but I probably by next month we can have a live thing going if I can do that. I don't know if that's possible.
We're going to try something. Maybe it'll be a little different, people. We don't
And
know.
In the grousing department, everybody.
Right.
Okay, everybody, we're probably going to be switching over soon. That's been us. Have a great night. And remember, there's no such thing as a failed experiment.
Did we forget Tom Ditto?
No, we heard Tom. No.
Special guest.
Special guest, Tom Ditto.
Tom Ditto.
running out the clock. I don't even know if they've dropped us yet.
Probably. Oh, you can't play music? You can't play
music?
Yeah,
we have music.
How about music?
Is there music?
Oh, there's music playing, guys. I got that.
Oh, you got it like downstream of us so we can't hear it. Oh. Oh, my God.
You see, we didn't take the break tonight because we kept on rolling.